So we started last week in Romans 12, and we got through the first three verses because we were talking about being a living sacrifice. And what does that mean in the overall perspective of the Christian life? When the Apostle Paul tells us, let's just read those first three verses again in Romans chapter 12. He says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And we had some discussion on that last week, talking about how really and truly Paul is saying that, okay, the world and the Christian life are in direct opposition to one another. They truly are a battle that continues to wage. And he's saying that when we give in to the world, that's one of those times when we would be conforming ourselves. But when we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives and to truly transform our mind, it is renewed. And through that renewal, we are able to discern or test or prove, as Crystal read from the King James last week, we're able to truly connect with what God's will is. So when we allow the Holy Spirit to renew our mind and put us where God wants us to be as Christians. So in other words, we're living sacrifices. We have given ourselves over to what it is that God wants for us to do. And we are seeking, how do we use our hands? How do we use our feet? How do we use our mind? How do we use our mouth in order to further what it is that God wants us to be involved in? And we can only get there once we've allowed ourselves to be transformed and our mind renewed. And so this week, we're going to go on and talk about gifts of grace and the spiritual gifts that each of us have. And let me start by just saying, we have to come to the realization that the Christian life is so much more than just saying, yes, I believe. Yes, I understand that Jesus died for me on the cross. And I understand that my sins are forgiven. Great, I'm saved, and now I can go about my merry way. We need to come to the conclusion and the realization that through that salvation, we are given by grace a gift from God to do something for Him. Each and every believer has a spiritual gift that we are called to use in some manner, in some way, in some capacity to further God's kingdom. And one of the things that Paul talks about in these next few verses is we need to be a person who is willing to be realistic about what our gifts are. And we need to take the time to truly be, and he uses the term sober judgment or sober-minded, about what God has granted us. So let's just start reading in verse 3. Because he starts off saying, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. So let's start with what he says at the very beginning in verse 3. He says, for by the grace given to me. So the Apostle Paul is saying that because of God's grace, because what God has graciously given to Paul, he has the right, he has this authority as an apostle, because that's what he has been called to be. He's saying, I have this authority to say to you these following things. So one of Paul's gifts is to deliver this message to the Romans, thereby delivering it also to all of us. And he's saying it's by God's grace that he has this ability to do this. So he literally opens this whole passage by saying, everything that I have is from God's grace, and that's really what the beginning of Romans leads up to this point anyway. Everything that we have is because of God's grace, all of our forgiveness and all of our gifts. But now he's saying that it's up to us to be sober-minded and have good judgment, and don't think too highly of yourselves. It gives the impression here that we're dealing with folks, or at least he's dealing with folks, who had spiritual gifts that maybe they thought they were a little bit more important than they were, or maybe they were taking them to the next level. Have you ever seen someone in a job scenario where, I'm not even gonna talk about spiritual gifts for a moment, but a job scenario that you work with, where somebody says to you, I've got that all figured out. I know exactly how to do this. I mean, I got it, it's no problem. And they've only been on the job for a week or so, and they all of a sudden know everything about it. I worked with a guy one time who was supposed to be back in the grinding department at Meyer Tool. I was the lead man in the EDM department up here where we were making jet engine parts. And I look over on one of the machines in our department, and there's a guy sitting there, and he's supposed to be in the grinding department. And the guy who was supposed to be running the machine was just standing there, looking at me. And I walked over, I said, "What's going on?" And he says, "He just came up here and started running my machine." And I looked at him, I said, "Are you kidding me?" I said, "What are you doing, Ron?" His name was Ron. And he says, "Well, I figured I got all grinding figured out. I know everything there is to know back there. I wanted to come up here and figure this out, learn something new." I was like, this is not how this works. You don't get to reassign yourself to a different department, a different job, a different machine because you think you got everything figured out back there. So we had a nice heart-to-heart talk. He went back to grinding and then put the other guy back on the machine. I'd never run into that before. I had never seen someone so bold as to proclaim that they had everything figured out over here and they were just going to reassign themselves and become an expert in something else now. This is just how it's going to be. Scott, you ever done that?
Yes, I have.
Okay. I'm on both sides of that. You what?
I'm on both sides of that.
Yeah, okay. But Paul's warning Christians here to say, listen, you got to come to the realization that if you have a gift, whatever that gift may be, it is given to you by the grace of God. And so be sober-minded that it's given to you not to edify you. This gift is not so you can feel good about yourself and lift yourself up and brag about what you can do and say, look at me, look at me, look at me. God has allowed me to speak. God's allowed me to teach. God's allowed me to counsel. Whatever it be, you go down the line of whatever the gift may be, service, you name it, prophecy, whatever it may be. This is not about you. It's not about the individual. And he's saying that we've got to put ourselves in the right place, realize how we got this gift, and to what measure we have the gift. Because he says, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Now, we could get lost in that statement a little bit. Anybody got a different interpretation in their Bible that says, maybe reads a little bit differently? I'll take that as a no. But I was asking because I haven't done a parallel on this to see.
Is it just chapter 3 you're talking about?
Chapter 3, chapter 12, verse 3.
Yeah.
Okay. And in the last part of that where he says, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned, as he is rendering.
Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us.
Does it... It almost sounds like that, if we just took that in by itself, that God gives a different amount of faith to each individual person. How should we interpret that?
My Bible has dealt, which if you're dealt cards, it seems really random.
That's interesting, yeah. It does seem kind of random. Yeah, but it's not really random. In the sense here that Paul is saying, because it's given by God, right? But all of us may have different levels. Yeah, we may all find ourselves different. We're all dealt a different hand. We're all given different levels of gifts to use for God's purpose. And Paul's telling us we need to take the time to understand what's our place? Where should we be? Because the person who does not use his gift at all, his or her gift at all, and talks it down and pushes to the side and says, no, I mean, what was Moses' problem, right? It was, no, I, are you kidding me? I can't speak well enough to do this. I can't go talk to these people. And God is saying, no, I have called you to this. It's clear that I've called you to this. And if that's what I've called you to, then that's what I'm going to equip you for. But then we have the other extreme where we have the folks who say, well, God has called me to great things. And they're puffing themselves up when they say that. And then they put themselves outside of the area on the other end of the spectrum from what God has called them to. And so Paul is warning everybody to be sober-minded, to realize, and I'll use it again, everyone is dealt a different hand. And it has to do with the level that God's grace has been bestowed upon you. Because through his grace, we have everything. So if God has given someone like Billy Graham the ability to go out and speak to stadiums full of people and reach countless people for the Lord, great. If God has put someone in a 10-member country church to speak to them so that two people who sit on the back row may come to know him and grow his kingdom, great. If God has put you as a spiritual leader in your house to lead your children and your family to the Lord so that you may be an example to those who watch from the outside, great. Maybe God has taken someone who never says a word, Shannon, and put you in a place where you have something that you can say to someone who is hurting, who is wondering about the Lord, somebody who you can see is visibly struggling in some way, and you can just give them a word of encouragement because you happen to share the same time at the gym. Whatever it may be, if God has put you in that place, he's equipped you to deal with it, and he'll move you in that direction. But Paul is saying we've got to be sober in our judgment, and we've got to essentially cast aside all of our own personal feelings, the things that we want to do to edify ourselves, and realize that as a living sacrifice, going back to last week's discussion, that as a living sacrifice, we have a purpose. We have given our body over to him, and now it's up to us to realize what skills and gifts he has given us to use our body in that way.
You know, I'm thinking of the talents, you know, and if you're an effective leader, God obviously is.
Yeah.
Obviously the man, you know, that Jesus was talking about that gave the talents, he obviously was too. He knew, given this guy 10, he was going to make 10 more. Giving this guy 5, he was going to make 5 more. And then, you know, I got to have somebody else. So this guy here, he's probably not going to do anything anyway. But, and God is, you know, that's supposed to be a vision of God and what he does.
And it is. And yeah, that's great. Yeah, I don't know. Why did I think of that?
Yeah.
Because that's why Steve's here.
And you're right, Steve. There you go. But no, and you hit the nail on the head. That's exactly what it's about. That there are certain skills and talents that are given to all of us. But the world has a way of taking our perception and shifting things. And that's why you see televangelists and leaders of mega churches and leaders of small churches going astray, winding up, you know, in headlines for embezzlement, for doing things that they ought not to be doing, mainly because of they have put themselves above God. And any time that we put ourselves above the Lord, we are asking for trouble, because we will fall undoubtedly. Okay, any other comments there before we go on to number four, verse four? Okay, verse four, he says, "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not have all the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them." Now he goes into a list of gifts. He says, if prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving the one who teaches in his teaching. The one who exhorts in his exhortation. The one who contributes in generosity. The one who leads with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. So he's giving us these descriptions of how we should be serving. And we've talked about this before. If in Christian service and being for so many years on the nominating committee, it's problematic because our church starts off every year with a nice long list of these officers and teachers. These are the roles that need to be filled within this church. We have these Sunday school offices, teachers. We have all these various ministries that are needing to be led. And sometimes it feels like the definition for where and how people will serve comes from that list. And the reason I say it's problematic is that oftentimes we find ourselves as a committee trying to help people to serve. Instead, we find ourselves trying to fill slots. And Christian ministry is not about filling a slot. Because if it was about filling a slot, I could go grab anybody off the street and go, I want you to do this. And what we continually remind ourselves of as we're going through the process is, this is not about just putting warm bodies in a slot. It's about, what is a person called to? And if they don't speak up, if they don't even realize perhaps that there's an opening and a place for them to serve, it's up to us as a committee to be led by the Lord through prayer as we go through this process to try and put people or give people an opportunity to serve where they need to serve. And it's tough because, okay, it's become structured, right? You have a deadline. Well, you gotta get this done by the third week of August. And here's your list of what you gotta do. And are we open to creating new positions? Because there are people here who have their shown a propensity to do something. What I'm saying is we have to be careful as a church and as individuals to not let the structure of the world get in the way of us serving in whatever capacity we've been called to serve in. And so we have to throw our own judgment out the door, or not our own judgment, but our own desire to buff ourselves up. And we have to watch that structures of the world don't lead us in the wrong direction. And so again, though, Paul goes on to elaborate here that there's, you're not unfamiliar with the body of Christ, description for all serving, but everyone has a role to play. And can you say that the role that, the role that the thumb plays is any more important? Well, I didn't set a bad one there. Should go up with something else. Can you say that?
But the rule of thumb?
Can you say that the role that the big toe plays role is any more important than the pinky? I mean, is it because when that part of the body is called into service, it is just as important as any other part of the body, right? No.
Pinky toe is more important. It provides your balance.
You can walk all right without a thumb.
Well, if you lose your thumb, you can take your big toe and replace your thumb with it. So, yes, it's interchangeable. Your pinky toe keeps your balance.
Have you not been here for the last 30 minutes?
I have.
Okay. Oh, thank you, God.
Just try to be your anchor, John.
Yeah. Well, you know, anchors do two things.
Keep you in place and drag you down.
That's right.
Good catch.
Just living up to my title.
Wow. He's got his gift all lined up.
Yeah, about 10 minutes of this. All right. So, how do we do this?
I ask that question a lot.
How do we, yeah. Sometimes I say, why do we do this? No, but how do we do this? If we know that we have gifts, if we know that we're called into service as a body of Christ, I keep turning my table further away from Dave. Anybody knows that?
You don't want to talk about Dave.
But how do we do this? How do we do what Paul tells us to do in verses 3-8? What's the process? How do we know we're not elevating ourselves above where we should be? How do we know that we're living up to the potential that God has put inside of us?
What's in your heart?
How do we recognize it? You know, because the heart is deceitful.
Holy Spirit, yeah, it is. If you're relying on the Holy Spirit to lead you, it's easy though. I mean, it's a tightrope. It's easy to start doing things, you know, because you want to hear people say good things about you. It's a slippery slope.
That's such a big deal. I don't know how to take compliments from people.
Yeah.
I don't know how to take them. Because I'm afraid that they'll make me feel good. I'm afraid that people will see that maybe I feel good. Yeah. I'm afraid that they'll look at me and go, oh, I shouldn't have said that. He's getting a big head. Stop. And, compliments are they're a tightrope to walk. Mm-hmm. But really and truly, Paul told us last week here in verses 1-3, how we have to do it, right? He told us that we've got to let the Holy Spirit renew our mind. We've got to get to a point where we are truly we have a servant's attitude. And in doing so, we're going to be in a situation where we can recognize and discern what God's will is in our life. And when we start to get that guidance in place, and we start to discern what God's will is for our lives, then we start to recognize how God wants us to use the gifts he's given us. And you will be led by the Holy Spirit to go in the right direction. But we can't do that, folks, without prayer. We can't do that without spending time in God's Word. And we can't do that without making actual decisions about how we're going to take the time and dedicate, and we talked about last week, our relationship. We've got to grow our relationship with the Lord in order for these things to work out. We said last week, there's this implication here that there's not just a flipping of the switch when we say that okay, yes, we're going to dedicate our lives to Christ, where we suddenly know and understand everything about our Christian walk. It's not that way. It's a process that we grow into. And so we have to dedicate ourselves to that process to get to where God wants us to be in order to serve him in the capacity that he wants us to serve. And it's hard for us, I think, to do those things. But it's what we're called to do. It's what we're called to do. And we owe it to ourselves to read Scripture. Because if somebody didn't warn you about, hey, this could happen. If somebody didn't warn you that even in Christian service, you can become puffed up and your Christian service can become a sinful act, because it's self-serving. Well, I think one of the things that we have the most problems with, especially in the Baptist church, is when people look at a position that's not filled and they go, I'll take it. oh, that's the wrong attitude, that's the wrong approach, it's the wrong everything. One, you're discounting the Lord because you're looking at it going, well, nobody's gonna take it if I don't do something, then this will never get handled. No, that's not how this works. This is not our church. These are not our ministries. We are serving in these capacities for the Lord. And if we're truly handing them over to the Lord, we have to trust the Lord will put someone in the positions that need to be filled.
A couple of weeks ago, I was listening to Warren Wiersbe, one of his podcasts, one of his sermons, and he said something to the effect of, when he gets to heaven, one of the things that he's most concerned about, kind of in fear of, is that a lot of what he's done throughout his life, you know, as a minister, is, you know, we're not going to be acceptable in God's sight because Christ wasn't in it.
Yeah, it's scary, isn't it?
Yeah.
But the fact that he's concerned about it says everything.
Yeah.
It says everything. You know, he's aware of that, and he understands what's truly important. Yeah, tell my kids all the time, the fact that you care about how you feel, the fact that you care about your reasons behind what you did, or the fact that you feel bad about something, these are all good things. Don't let go of that. You need to work with that and realize that there's a purpose in it. Can you hear those kids so good? They sounded good last week too, Jesse, when you were down there.
Thanks.
I won't be clear. So. And I told Rachel too, by the way.
That was good?
Yeah,
I did. Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I said, Jesse, you did a good job.
Time flies by so fast when you're down there. Long as they play it twice and then leave, and I'm like,
it's over.
All right, okay.
Yeah. A lot of stuff happens in a very short period of time. Any comments or questions about or additional whatever before we move into next week? We'll get into Marks of a True Christian and talking about working together and service with other people. All right, well, we're going to wrap that up here this morning. Stop a couple minutes early, so I'll hold you over. But thanks for being here and participating. And I'll never be able to look at my thumbs the same way. Thanks for sharing.
You're welcome.
All right, well, we're going to go ahead and wrap up the word prayer, and we'll see where we go from here. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for your word. Lord, I'm so grateful that we can sit here and we can have these discussions and we can fellowship through these discussions, Lord, with one another, that we just draw nearer and dearer to you and understand, Lord, what you have in store for our lives and what you want us to do in Christian service to you. Father, if it's not clear to any of us what we should be doing, if it's not something that we understand or feel a certain draw in a certain direction, Lord, I just pray that you will open that up for us. Lord, help us to see opportunities that we need to take just to encourage someone. Help us to be able to have the courage to step out and maybe just get out of our individual comfort zones and apply whatever it is that you have given us as individual gifts and use them to further your kingdom. And Lord, just when we depart from this room this morning, help us as we enter into the sanctuary to be right-minded. And let us cast aside all the distractions of the previous week and the concerns about the week that's to come. And just let us focus on your word and the message that you have given Tank to deliver this morning. And Lord, we're grateful that you've provided this church with continued leadership and continued growth. And Lord, just let us continue to be strong and be a witness for you in this community and beyond. Lord, thank you again for all you've done. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.